Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 1st of February, 2022. I'm joined by Harry.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about This Is Honka Country. You all just live in it. Certainly Trudeau does. Whoopi Goldberg's going full anti-racist, which is to say that...
massively racist.
Yes. And also leftists make the Taliban look humane, which is something the New Zealand government decided to do, which... stunning and brave, I guess. I don't really know. Just fucking... it's actually a horrible story. It's we're going to end on a nice black pill.
It is. Oh, great.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's mention the first things on the website to cheer our spirits. The first thing here being an article from Hugo, I hereby own the moon. So this is a premium article in which he's looking at, of course, people owning the moon or buying parts of it. And there is an audio track for Silver and Gold team members, in case you do not like the read.
Yeah, I've not read this yet, but it is quite a striking title, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. But you don't know about the moon leases?
Aware that people lease parts of the moon... excuse me, I read like the first paragraph and it was all just about how, you know, these people don't really own parts of the moon, so they're just selling you a piece of paper.
That's what you think.
Oh, okay. I've got moon stonks, boy.
Okay, the next one we have, I believe this is a free article, The Allegory of the Splinter. So this is Josh Firm. So go and check that out. That one's free. And if we go to the next one, we also have a free article, The Begum Question. This is Beau talking about Begum. And what is to be done with her, even though all the British public agree, apparently the courts do not. And then if we get to the last one here, we have a premium video, so you got to be subscribed to get access to this one, Scientific Non-Adequacy, which you did, so I'll let you explain.
Yes, it was me and Carl looking at the left's worrying tendency to have scientists advocate for the relaxing of standards when it comes to paedophiles, shall we say. And there was a USA Today Twitter thread, an article that, as you would imagine, got scrubbed, where they were talking to a man called Dr. James Cantor, who was saying we need to redefine what it means to be a paedophile and perhaps be a bit kinder to these poor and fortunate souls who are born with such an affliction. Yeah, it's vile. So check that out if you feel if you feel like some nice bedtime reading. No. Well, check it out if you feel like getting massively depressed. But we do make some relatively...
that's a hell of a sell, mate.
Yeah, we do make some relatively wholesome conclusions near the end regarding the importance of a childhood and being able to maintain a level of innocence within people. So.
And what is to be done. Anyway, I also thought I was laughing at the chat because someone said there were non-fungible moon dust tokens out there to get, so go and find them. But without further ado, let's get into the honks. So this is Honka Country is probably what I'm going to end up titling this, because honk, 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 honk.
Honk the strong.
Meme. Yeah, love the Goose Game memes especially, just people scrimming their wheels, just making it go honk. And of course, the question the last time we did a segment on this is, where the hell is Trudeau? Because like Colonel Gaddafi, or Ben Ali or something, he just disappeared. Mm-hmm. And well, we have some updates. So if we go to the image here, we have the first link. This is Justin Trudeau saying that this morning I tested positive for COVID-19. That was the third vaccine working out for you. I'm feeling well and will continue to work remotely this week while following public health guidance. Everyone, please get vaccinated and boosted.
Even the first response that you can see there, honk, 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 honk.
I was immediately about to mention. You just want to scroll down and look at the responses because, of course, they're as good as you want. And I really love Poso's response there. Just honk, 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 honk. Absolute gold. Yeah, anyway, moving on. So let's go to the next links. We have some updates, which is apparently that there are some truckers at one of the Canadian-US borders in Alberta, and apparently it's like the major one, so basically anyway, in and out. Are just deciding that they're going to blockade the border, as in no cross border.
Nothing in, nothing out?
No.
Great.
Simple as. No.
Canadians finally building a wall of trucks.
And it goes honk. And as you can see, Lauren Chen here noting, convoy truckers vote to keep the blockade going at the Canadian-US border despite legal threats from authorities. I'm being 100% sincere when I say watching this brings a tear to my eye. If only Canadian politicians cared as much for our freedoms as these people do. And you can see this footage, I believe it's from Rebel News, who are down there recording everything. Of course, being a Canadian outlet, this dears to their hearts. And it's just the truckers going, you know, do you want to continue doing this? And they're all like, yeah.
Yep.
Good.
Nice.
That's some good union work right there. Mm-hmm. The Freedom Union. if we go to the next link as well, we can see the map of the situation. So as you can see, it's like the major road in and out. I have no idea if there are side roads. I presume not, because it's so vast. But... mm-hmm. If that's where they're doing it. And if we go to the next link, you can also see the fact that Ezra is out there himself and apparently is trying to crowdfund for these people, the people who are protesting in the Capitol, all the rest of it. So, hey, just nice to see, frankly. But there's another person, of course, who has a high interest in the honks. It's Elon Musk. Elon Musk having a big thing. So we can see here, I believe we mentioned this previously, which is Elon Musk being in support of the truckers. And here he makes a great point. It would appear that the so-called fringe minority is actually the government. They are the fringe minority. The majority are the truckers. And if we go to the next one, there's something I noticed he responded to. So Dinesh D'Souza says, "Tweets are fine, Elon Musk, but you can dramatically change the political and cultural landscape this way. Number one, buy and take over major social media platforms. Two, acquire or create a TV network like ABC, NBC, or CBS. And three, create a world-class online university and offer degrees for free." And if we scroll down, we can see Elon's just like, interesting ideas.
Hmm. I mean, maybe time to expand my portfolio.
Yeah, I also love how Elon Musk, there's a wonderful meme of just like from a salmonella or something where he's sat on this pile of cash. He's like, if only there was a way someone like me could affect political change. Hang on, wait a minute.
Oh, wait. Now, Elon has been shockingly based recently on Twitter. He's been saying all sorts of stuff that brings a tear to my eye, like when he was saying that the government is the biggest cartel around and they have a monopoly on violence. And it's like, yes, all fine. Of these things are true, Elon.
Yeah.
Spread the good word.
It's great to see. But we can also see Brave Sir Justin, so the one who ran away. Proudly ran away. Yeah, he decided to give a statement, and you can see Disclosed TV listing the statement, and it's pathetic. And I think we should just play it. Let's play.
Good.
I have attended protests and rallies in the past when I agreed with the goals, when I supported the people expressing their concerns and their issues. Black Lives Matter is an excellent example of that. But I have also chosen to not go anywhere near protests that have expressed hateful rhetoric, violence towards fellow citizens, and a disrespect, not just of science, but of the frontline health workers and, quite frankly, the 90% of truckers who have been doing the right thing to keep Canadians safe, to put food on our tables. Canadians know where I stand. This is a moment for responsible leaders to think carefully about where they stand and who they stand with.
Insane.
Everything he says sounds like a veiled threat.
Yeah.
I swear to God, you've got to think carefully about where you're going to stand. Bog off. For goodness sakes, freedom isn't a good enough cause for you, but something going on across the border with BLM, oh, no, that you're more than welcome to come out and have loads of press photos taken in support of that, aren't you, Justin?
It was essentially a statement of, I hate the truckers and I stand with left-wing nonsense. I mean, the position he took there, I stand with BLM, not with movements with hateful rhetoric and violence.
Mm.
We talk about the same BLM.
Yeah.
They're hurting healthcare workers. You remember all those buildings that were being burnt down? Remember the like dozen odd people who ended up murdered? Never mind all the people who were injured in all those riots? No? David Dorn?
No, they were all hateful bigots.
David Dorn deserved it. Justin Trudeau. Right. Okay.
Wonderful.
What a pathetic statement.
It's not said anything we didn't already know. Justin loves left-wing ideology and hates freedom.
Yeah, but I also do hate the fact that he would dare condemn these truckers by trying to compare them to BLM. Mm. I'm sorry, they're much better than that.
I'm sure he's using that one example of some of the people with the hateful flags out, with like the Nazi flag, who were just immediately shooed off by everyone.
Him in costume. He condemns himself.
Yes.
As you can see here, posts are also posting that truckers are apparently now chanting, meet with us at Trudeau, because, well, that is how this gets solved, which is just talk to your own constituents. You know, the Canadians.
And that's literally your job.
What did you think? I mean, your job isn't dressing up. I know that is what you like to do, but that is not actually the job title. And if we can continue on this, so we can go to Trudeau's response. So there are various responses to this demand. And Trudeau's one being essentially, leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you.
Go away.
Yeah. And as you can see, so we're posting here, I know this pandemic is frustrating. Why? Why is it frustrating? Because of the government's own actions to enforce these mandates upon the truckers and everyone else. It's frustrating that after 2 years, we're not done fighting COVID-19. You can stop it tomorrow, bro. We've stopped it here. I love that we live in the UK, because quite frankly, right now, there is none of this. And all of this stuff going on in the colonies looks absurd. I mean, it looks like news from a year ago or something, when everyone was obsessed with, oh, if we just get vaccinated, it'll be over, bro. It's like, no, it doesn't work. It's all the government.
It does. I mean, we've pulled back a load of the restrictions. The mandatory vaccinations seem to be being pulled away from the NHS and frontline social care workers and other things.
It wasn't because everyone got vaccinated. Everyone was already bloody vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
What killed it was Boris Johnson being caught with his trousers around his ankles, presumably effing a cake or something, or whatever other parties.
I mean, he went
eaten,
right? So
yeah,
fair chance.
No, it's not a pig's head. So
then it's a step up. We're improving in our leadership slowly.
Yes. So the UK has shown that no, this is all political. This is not about vaccinations. This is not about any of that. It is all the decision of the central government. So he continues in here. But over the past few days, Canadians have been shocked and frankly disgusted by the behaviour by some people protesting in our nation's capital. They weren't shocked by the church burnings throughout Canada, no? What about the Queen Victoria statue that was beheaded?
Well, don't you know the church burnings, they found some disturbed ground somewhere that left-wing outlets said was mass grave sites. Not found any graves.
Could be, though.
But maybe.
Who cares about that? But as you can see here, I mean, you remember when the statue of Queen Victoria was torn down? Trudeau, not offended by this, not offended that the mother country is essentially being disrespected in a huge regard there. No interest whatsoever. This is justice. We go back to his statement, because he continues, for God knows what reason. I want to be very clear. We're not intimidated by those who hurl abuse at small business workers and steal food from the homeless. These are some accusations being made against the truckers. We won't give in to those who fly racist flags. One dude with a Confederate flag wearing a mask.
And the truckers also didn't give in to him.
But also wearing a mask. You know those truckers? Big fans of masks. Right. And we won't cave to those who engage in vandalism or dishonour the memory of our veterans. Which you're totally not doing by making the country not a free place. Right. There is no place in Canada for this behaviour. So to those responsible, it needs to stop. And to those who joined the convoy but are uncomfortable with the symbols of hatred and division on display, be courageous and speak out. Do not stand for it or otherwise otherwise with intolerance and hate. And it's like, well, they have, as you mentioned.
Yeah, they already did.
So... I don't know what the point in any of that was, other than just, I don't like the truckers again. It's just a big long Twitter thread where he's like, the truckers are bad. Why? Well, they disagree with me. Okay? They have a different religion than the tyrant religion. I don't know what to say. But what was interesting is apparently he reworded this and deleted his original tweet.
Oh, do we have a copy of the original?
Oh, well, someone said that they saw the original because it already got deleted. And he says here, he changed the wording because talking about damage to small business is the wording he used previously. And then he changed it to hurl abuse at small businesses because he realized he's been taking a flamethrower to small businesses for the last 2 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
And supported BLM, who were ever so kind to small business.
I mean, the lockdown man is kind of the one killing the small businesses, not the truckers turning up and being like, oi. Be reasonable or blockade. Yeah. So if we continue on this, we'll go to the next tweet, which is also a deleted tweet of note, which is Ottawa City Councillor launches court proceedings against Canada's trucker convoy, targeting the nearly $10 million in funds frozen by GoFundMe to cover the city's expenses. Right. You're just going to steal the money, are you? That's your plan. There's a reason they deleted it, because it doesn't make any sense. But good try. I also like that the GoFundMe has now raised to $10 million, which is awesome to see, but... GoFundMe need to release that damn money. And if we go to the following example, because we kind of expect this from Colonel Justin and his followers, but I was really, and I don't know why I am, because I don't know Canadian politics that well, but the Conservatives, I don't know what they're doing.
Are they British Conservatives?
By the looks of it.
Oh.
You've been handed a winning movement on a platter. And you're rejecting it. I don't know why. As you can see, Lauren Chen here on Getter saying the Conservative Party of Canada doesn't want this loser. So this is Aaron O'Toole and saying he should resign in disgrace and so forth. And you might wonder why. Well, because he decided to say there are two roads open to the Conservative Party of Canada. One road of Randy Hiller and Derek Solon. It's angry, negative, and extreme. It's a dead end. One that would see the parties of Confederation become the NDP of the right. This is the easiest question of our time. Do you stand with the Freedom Truckers or with the Colonel Justin as he bravely runs away from the Capitol because he can't help being told, honk, honk, let me be free? It's pathetic. I don't know what to say. Also, it's just another example of how like major parties just live off momentum by the looks of it. Just the momentum of being a major party. That's all you've got.
And this is such a politician's response, just not answering the question.
No, just instead, we've got two options, and one of them's extreme and negative. It's just stand with the truckers, dude. Stop wasting everyone's time. However, there is the deputy leader who decided to do something interesting. So if we go to the next link, you can see her here, and Rebel News reporting on it. This is the Conservative MP, and she decided to point out that Mr. Blackface over there is accusing the truckers of racism because one of his fans turned up with a Confederate flag. He can go to hell. And I thought I'd also find the full clip and we'd go through a bit of the parliamentary debate because it really has degenerated into a level of just squabbling because the Justin Trudeau position
is
indefensible.
That's a pretty typical parliament there.
Yeah, sort of. But it's also great to see. Let's play.
I do get very defensive of Canadians who are outside today, patriotic, peace-loving Canadians who are called misogynist and racist by the Prime Minister.
Blackface.
So again, I will ask the Prime Minister, who, may I remind this House, wore blackface on more times than he can remember, apologize to the peace-loving, patriotic Canadians who are outside right now just asking to be heard. Will he speak to them?
The Honourable Government House Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think this is a moment where we have to acknowledge that the protests that have occurred have made their point. And I would ask the member opposite to encourage the people that are outside to continue in a way that is peaceful, that moves beyond what we have seen. Ottawa is being paralyzed right now. There is a moment where we need to de-escalate. There's a moment where we need to bring it down. And I'm asking the members opposite, instead of going outside with these protests, to...
It just devolved.
Yeah, just a cacophony right there.
But it's because it's so ridiculous. I mean, like, you've got Justin Trudeau's ministers arguing, you guys need to de-escalate the situation. You're the one in government. You're the one with legal power. You're the one who extended that legal power to the point of insisting on vaccine mandates on truckers that then caused the truckers to be all at your house throwing piss everywhere and honking their horns.
There's a very simple answer to all of this. If people are complaining to you about the honkers being outside of their houses honking all day, there's a very simple solution.
Who escalated the situation? Who can only be the one who escalated the situation, because they're the only ones with legal power?
Well, the truckers didn't mandate anything on themselves, did they?
No. It's insane. And you can see just the temperament of the House. They also just be like, oh, this is mad. Like, come on, this is indefensible. And I love her making the point. It's just anytime Justin Trudeau calls anyone racist, dude, you're blackface man. You are literally known as blackface man.
He's not just blackface man. He's done everything against leftist ideology in terms of, like, appropriating others' culture.
Yes.
I mean, he is the master of disguise, after all. That's why we're having such trouble finding him.
He could be anyone. He could be me. He could be you.
Aha!
Oh, boy. Yeah, so that's the Canadian response, as far as I can see. The Trudeauian response of, leave me alone, please, and then looking like idiots, because you're the ones who started this, you morons. And the Conservatives mixed. And let's look at the Yankee response, because this I found also very interesting. So this is a link here, which shows that apparently this is a news report on MSNBC in which some truckers in California are trying to start up a convoy of their own, in which they want to go from California to Washington, D.C. and bring as many people with them. So, I don't know, maybe this will blow up, maybe it won't, but it's funny to see either way.
I like that it's inspiring other people across the world to go, like, hold up, we can just do that.
Mm, yeah, I own trucks too.
We don't have to we don't have to burn anything down, even peacefully.
No,
we can just drive.
Honk, honk. Yeah. Honk, honk, honk. Honk, honk. Give me freedom. It's that simple. And if we go to someone else who enjoys the bing bongs of driving a truck, we can go to Donald Trump. Of course, came out and did a speech in which he said he stands with the Canadian truckers all the way.
Good man.
Absolutely. So American truckers as well, I'm sure. Have a look at that convoy. And, well, left-wing Yankees, what did they decide to do? So if we go to MSNBC, they decided to call them a cult, as in the truck drivers. Are cultists?
Coming from leftists.
A cult of freedom.
I mean, it's a better cult than I've heard of.
It's not a terrible insult.
Yeah, right. I'll take that.
Let's play this.
Where were these protests when people were required to get five vaccines to start school? Where were these protests when people were required to give their children five vaccines?
They were in the doctor's office getting vaccines.
They were in the doctor's office getting vaccines, and they were making fun of left-wingers on the West Coast for being loopy anti-vaxxers.
Okay.
Now they have met the enemy, and the enemy, their enemy, themselves, because yes, they've become what they hated. They've become what they mocked. And now they're taking food from soup kitchens because they're so put upon for being asked to do what they've been asked to do, required to do, their entire lives.
Coming
up. It's a cult.
Yes, it is.
What?
I don't know. I mean,
What were any of those points? What argument was he making?
Didn't make any sense. Yeah. Let's try and go through some of that. So he mentions that where were the protests when everyone was getting their fifth shot or whatever? They were all getting their fifth shot.
Well, I mean, again, which shot are you referring to? I assume he's referring to all of the previous vaccines. I mean, there is a difference.
But then these truckers, the anti-vaxxers, They were all getting their shots. Yeah, think about that. Think about that in your head for more than a second. The anti-vaxxers were all getting their shots. And then it was mandated that they had to get their shots and then weren't happy about that.
Mm.
It wasn't they were asked to, they were required to, as he said himself. It's insane. They're a cult because they like freedom? I don't know what is up with the quality of left-wing dialogue at this point.
There's left-wing brains that you need to worry about.
Almost incoherent. However, this is, of course, corporate media. And someone made the great comparison, which is that it also is literally the capital from The Hunger Games. I mean, not only with the location, the corporate press and types.
It almost seems like pointless to make the comparison, but it just keeps being correct.
Mm. And if we go to the next link, we can see someone doing a redub of that exact image, as you can see here. May the honks be ever in your favor. Them dressed up. The dress up fits so well. That's the thing. It really does come across. Trucks of terror block streets of glorious capital with racist honking.
Well, boy. I mean, we are a bunch of honkies, so I see bunch the of point honkers. Now.
Yeah. Yeah, and also the point there that he tried to make and it didn't make the point he wanted it to, I suppose, because I have no idea what else he was making.
Was it pointing out that all the left-wing coastal elites were the crystal hippy-dippies going against the vaxxers in the past?
Maybe, but it was the point he made about the fact that they were all getting their shots and now they're unhappy about still being bothered by the government. Isn't that funny? It's like, no, it's perfectly coherent. And if we go to the next link, we could see Jordan Peterson making that coherent point previously. As you can see here, I mean, he said that he got the vaccine, okay, I'll get the damn thing. Now you leave me alone. Did that work? No.
Yeah, you changed the rules on us after we'd already done what we were supposed to. Hmm. So, what does that say for the future? It just means you're just going to keep changing the rules to get what you want.
Who should ever believe these people when they say, oh, just get your 10th shot and everything will be over? No, that's not all going to be over.
11th is the last one, guys, we swear.
It's over when we find you having a birthday party in the middle of lockdown, apparently. That's when it's over. So if we go to the last link here, I also wanted to mention old Trudeau, who's had something to say back in the day, and compare that to modern Trudeau. While many of us are working from home, there are others who aren't able to do that, like the truck drivers, who are working day and night to make sure our shelves are stocked, so you can please hashtag thank a trucker for everything they're doing to help them however you can. Yeah. Help a trucker. Thank a trucker. Do everything you can to help them. I endorse this message. Don't know what else to say. But until, well, they're not yours anymore. They're not on your side of the argument, are they, Justin? And then throw them down the tubes. Ridiculous. Anyway, that's honker country for you. Let's move on.
All right, then. So, moving on. Whoopi Goldberg has sparked somewhat of a controversy recently for making some outrageous claims and going full anti-racist, which of course is code for full anti-Semitic at this point. But before we get into the main story, I think it's worthwhile to talk about what kicked this whole series of events off. So we've got this New York Post here article talking about the fact that the graphic novel Mouse has been pulled out of Tennessee schools in a particular school district because of violence and profanity. I assume, are you aware of Mouse?
No, not really.
You may have heard of it.
I've heard of it before.
For anybody unaware, Mouse was written by this man, if you want to scroll down a bit, John, Art Spiegelman? I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Excuse me. Whose father was in Europe during the Holocaust, and he based it on his father's stories, except to sort of give it a bit more of a allegorical feel, he changed all of the characters so that they were represented by mice and cats and other such things. So, you know, typical sort of thing that you would do to try and translate it into a visual medium like a comic book. And it's got some controversy around it all of a sudden after this. So a Tennessee school district has banned a Pulitzer Prize winning graphic novel about the Holocaust over its violence, nudity and swearing. The McMinn County School Board voted unanimously to remove Art Spiegelman's book Mouse from classrooms on January 10th, according to meeting minutes. The book, completed in 1991, tells the story of the author's father and his experiences as a Holocaust survivor in comic book form. The school board cited its graphic scenes and profanity as among its objections to the reading. I'm not denying it was a horrible, brutal, and cruel act, said the school board member Tony Ullman, of the Nazi genocide that killed 6 million Jews. He argued that the book should be censored to make it more palatable. It's like when you're watching TV and a cuss word or nude scene comes on, it'll be the same movie without it, he said. said. It shows people hanging. It shows them killing kids. Why does the educational system promote this kind of stuff? It's not wise or healthy. Board member Mike Cochran agreed. This idea that we have to do this kind of material in the class in order to teach history, I don't buy it, he said.
That's ridiculous.
So, yeah, I think it is ridiculous as well. I think
the Holocaust would just be the same if we never showed any of the evil.
Yeah, this is a bit of a ridiculous overcorrection to the events, the sorts of events that led to Youngkin being voted in Virginia, which is obviously there were lots of negative, what I would call inappropriate books in schools being shown, such as the genderqueer, where, you know, it was like showing explicit sexual acts between lesbians. But the context here is very different.
I mean, it's the difference between ideology and historical reality. I
mean, yes.
I know it's a comic book, but still, if you want to find examples of Nazis killing kids or all the rest of it, you can, because it's endless. Mm.
It has been also quite prevalent in American education for years at this point. I think it's always been part of certain curriculums ever since it was finished. So it's weird that they...
The Holocaust.
Mouse as well.
Oh, Mouse, okay.
Yeah, so it's weird that they would choose to take it out. Now, like I said, I think it's a bit of an overcorrection, especially seeing as looking into it further. I think it's eighth graders who are reading this, so like between the ages of 12 and 14, as far as I can tell. And I would say, obviously, if you're showing that sort of stuff to maybe like pre-teens under the age of 10, yeah, maybe there's an argument to be made. But I'd say 12 to 14-year-olds are probably mature enough to be able to deal with that sort of stuff.
But, I don't know, but if I was the public school, I'd probably defer to, like, you know, the rating agency that does films and whatever.
Well, I mean, you can get away with a lot of stuff in, like, 15-rated films and stuff like that nowadays over in the UK. So I'd say the 14 to 15. But yeah, obviously, like you say, there's a difference between the ideology and trying to convey historical fact. Although that you could make concessions to the fact that, well, there are ways to teach about this if you were to, say, read The Boy with the Striped Pajamas or instead or something like what I did in high school. Don't know about you.
We just watched the movie.
Oh, yeah, we also watched the film. We read the book and we watched the film. But yeah, it's not something I entirely agree with, but it has had some something of a Streisand effect, because if we move along, it's actually started to get better sales as a result of this. So here, Holocaust book, Mouse sales soar after school board ban. Mouse has skyrocketed to the top of an Amazon bestsellers list. Art Spiegelman's 30-year-old Pulitzer Prize-winning series was not even in Amazon's top 1,000 at the beginning of last week when news broke of McMinn County's ban over what was deemed unnecessary in it. But by Monday, the complete collection was at the top of the online giant's bestsellers in literary graphic novels, with the first and second books individually rounding up the top three. So it's split into the complete collection, then one and two, collecting the other two parts of the series, not all together. So it's Streisand effect. It's acted as free publicity for the book. I still wouldn't say it's not like they've actually banned it. They've just pulled it from the curriculum. But it's caused a lot of people to go out and read it. I mean, these kids are still able to go outside of school, pick it up, and read it if they want to. But this is all the preamble to what led to the discussion about it on The View. Why?
I still can't go over how they literally use the V for their symbol. Sorry,
that was a bit of a refer
point, but it's the symbol from 1984 of the party. It was just like, okay, whatever. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're ready for a clip of some quite astounding intellectual prowess to be observed, so John, let's play this clip.
Well, also, if you're going to do this, then let's be truthful about it, because the Holocaust isn't about race.
No,
it's not about
maybe
race.
It's about a different race.
All of them like,
it's not
stop.
About race. It's not about
what
race.
What is it about?
Because it's about man's inhumanity to man. That's what it's about.
But it's about white supremacy.
It's not about race. But these are two Romans. White groups of people.
Well, how do we have to black people?
But
people
see them as white.
And
then
but you're missing
just
the point.
White on white violence.
The minute you turn it into race, it goes down this alley. Let's talk about it for what it is. It's how people treat each other. It's a problem. It doesn't matter if you're black or white, because black, white, Jews, everybody. Eats each other. So is it, if you're uncomfortable, if you hear about Mouse, should you be worried? Should your child say, oh my God, I wonder if that's me? No, that's not what they're going
to
say. They're going to say, I don't want to be like that.
No, hopefully. Well, I want to be cool.
Yeah.
And in
most kids, they don't want to be cool.
No, they don't. And we're living in a, you know, we're living in an era where people are comparing vaccine cards to the yellow stars, where people are comparing vaccinations to what Anne Frank went through.
Yeah.
So it is necessary for kids to learn about.
They stopped yet?
To learn about man's inhumanity to man, however it exposes itself. I have to cut you off.
I just want to say that mouse was banned and it flew to the top 20 of Amazon's rules last week. Charts.
Yes.
People, the more you ban it, the more we want to read it.
Two retards fighting.
Kept going. I know. Not exactly a table.
Wasn't it about white supremacy? Oh, fucking jeez.
Not exactly a table of Einsteins there.
No.
But even amongst them, Whoopi Goldberg giving a pretty poor showing, wouldn't you say? And I would say that this is because Whoopi Goldberg...
Oh, God, I mean, hang on. At least she said something... She said a lot of wrong things,
mm-hmm.
but she also at least said one thing that was true, which is there's inhumanity in the Holocaust. Sure.
I mean, duh.
But
okay.
The opposition there, lady, is just like, yeah, but it was about white supremacy. What? What world are you living where the Germans are white supremacists? No, they were German supremacists. It's kind of the point of the Ubermensch.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? These guys are all looking at it from an incredibly American view of what race is, which, I mean, Whoopi Goldberg has since addressed this and said that, oh, I, as a black woman, I see race as something that I can see. It's like, not in the 1930s, not in the 1940s.
The Nazis would have their opinions on what they can see
about
different races.
Yes, but it's also not the only conception of race that was going around in the 30s and 40s. And before that, previously, race was more considered to... Yeah, yeah. It's considered something that you're a heritage of. And they considered Jews to be an intruding race in Germany and needed to be got rid of because they were inferior, they were causing capitalism, which was destroying their society. But also some of the claims made there about, considering like vaccine cards as the same as what happened to the Jews in the Holocaust. And it's like, some schools are literally giving kids yellow stars now to demonstrate that they're mask exempt. So whether you want to say it's appropriate or not, the comparisons can be made. But I can't believe I'm going to have to do this. I can't believe I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to break out the Hitler quotes. Just to prove, we all know this, but just in case Whoopi is watching, it's probably best that you learn this for the future. You're a 66-year-old woman.
It's never too late to learn.
Yeah, supposedly you didn't already know this, but here we go. So he says here, and we can proudly say that our German people, from the standpoint of race and blood, can be considered as among the best of its kind in existence. So right there, obviously...
The German race. This is how Hitler views things, through racial lines, and the racial lines are not just black and white, and that's the end of it, because we're not Americans. I don't know what else to say.
No.
It's just such a low-resolution way of viewing these things.
But yeah, just another one to cap it off. German culture, as its name alone shows, is German and not Jewish. Well, there you go. There's immediately the separation that he's pulling. He's not just going, I'm white, but I hate this particular white person. He's going, I'm German, and I hate this Jew.
Because he's a different race. The Jews are not Europeans, they are Semites, and therefore a different race, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but if we move along, Whoopi has addressed this in this apology. Today's show, I said the Holocaust is not about race, but man's inhumanity to man. I should have said it's about both. As Jonathan Greenblatt from the Anti-Defamation League shared, because we really need to care about their opinion... The Holocaust was about the Nazis' systematic annihilation of the Jewish people, who they deemed to be an inferior race. I mean, correct. I stand corrected. You didn't already know this.
There is no way you didn't know.
There is no way you didn't know this.
0% chance.
Yep. Jewish people around the world have always had my support, and that will never waver. I'm sorry for the hurt I've caused, written with my sincerest apologies.
Also... Both of you are idiots, apparently, because neither of you have listed it wasn't just Jews. It wasn't just Jews that Hitler considered inferior and need to be exterminated. I mean, what did he do with the Slavs once he found them? What did he do with the Gypsies?
That is all true. But yeah, so not particularly smart, but it seems like she has approached this from a purely CRT-influenced viewpoint that she's looking at it from. She's looking at it through the, I see white people.
I mean, could you disprove CRT's ability to look at reality and get anything meaningful other than this?
I know.
The Holocaust isn't about race.
It's just about just about man against man, man. Such a hippie sounding
There was
view
no racial
as well.
Genocide in Rwanda. It was just man against man.
Yeah,
put season tutus, don't know what you're talking about.
Just black on black, man. And if we move along again, we can see Whoopi Goldberg from November, just to really hammer home, she absolutely has absorbed all of the CRT talking points, because she had this discussion a few months ago on The View again, had a spirited debate with Michelle Tafoya about racial progress, where she said, during the discussions of Virginia's gubernatorial race between Glenn Youngkin and Terry McAuliffe, the issue of critical race theory came up as one of the major focuses in the race. As we all know, it lost the race for Terry McAuliffe, who literally said, parents shouldn't have a say in their children's education. People weren't very happy with that. But Goldberg noted that critical race theory was college-level curriculum and wasn't currently taught to children anyhow, to which co-host Joy Behar chimed in and called it culture war BS. So complete NPC talking points. She's been confronted with the CRT stuff and immediately gone down the dialogue tree of pre-programmed responses. Well, it's not even taught in schools. It's just for university curriculums, guys. It's way too dumb, way too smart for little dumb kids to learn about. And we all know that's BS. Yes,
I like the idea that you could write a book on Hitlerism and then just be like, here's Hitlerism for kids, but don't worry, Hitlerism's too advanced for kids, so this book is fine. It's waste of time.
Yes, but you know, you live in the United States. You know that the color of skin has been mattering to people for years, Goldberg told Tafoya. Can't we change it that it doesn't, Tafoya asked? Good question. We need white people to step up and do that. But I think they've been doing that since the Civil War. No, they haven't. Who fought the Civil War then?
It's just black people.
Whoopi.
Fighting yep. Southern blacks. I.
That was it. The Confederates just sent their slaves off to fight for them. Is that really what was going on, Whoopi? Are you an idiot? Well, yes, you
yes,
are
you're an idiot.
But if there wasn't a big enough proportion of white people in the US who found slavery awful, the war would have never have been fought in the first place, you moron. Okay, and if we go along again, she had another bad take. This is from a while back, and to be fair, this is not a take that was exclusive to Whoopi, because there was an actual petition signed by hundreds of people in Hollywood to do the same thing. So Hollywood has rallied behind Roman Polanski, notorious rapist and pedo, after his arrest in Switzerland over the weekend, with the actor Whoopi Goldberg suggesting that whatever he was guilty of, it wasn't rape.
Well, it was diet
because
rape.
There's a difference. There's rape, and then there's rape, you know? As a guest on The View chat show on US television, this must have been what confirmed for them that she needed to be a host. It's like, interesting point you've got there, Whoopi. I know it wasn't rape. It was something else, but I don't believe it was rape. He went to jail, and when they let him out, it was like, you know what? This guy's going to give me 100 years in jail. I'm not staying. So that's why he left, because I think he decided to skip out on American jail, basically, and moved back to Europe, where he could take refuge in France. Later in the program, she added, "We're a different kind of society. We see things differently. Would I want my 14-year-old having sex with somebody? Not necessarily, no. Not necessarily, Whoopi. Even if the person they were having sex with was 30 years older than your 14-year-old daughter. And once again, this is something that loads of people in Hollywood signed the petition to get him out of prison when he was arrested by the Switzerland authorities.
Yep.
Because they all just look at it and go like, well, it's nothing I wouldn't do.
Was it rapists of a feather flock together or something?
Yes. But you'd think she would have learned a lesson after having a number of controversies saying dumb S like this, but she hasn't. And of course, there's the other thing, which is this is not the best timing to be making such claims after just the other week, the hostage incident at the Texas synagogue. Committed by the British man, if we all remember. But yeah, anti-Semitism is kind of in a lot of people's minds right now.
I'm trying to remember, I swear, wasn't it like Sharon Osbourne or something defended Piers Morgan on The View and said he's not racist for pointing out that Meghan's full of crap? And then she lost her position there?
That would be a shockingly based take from Sharon Osbourne.
I might be wrong, but like she lost her position on The View, and yet like Whoopi Goldberg can just get away with all of this and she's fine. Brown privilege, mate.
Mm-hmm.
Real something.
And I think to sum all this up, it's probably good to get the perspective from a particular commentary on our side, that being Ben Shapiro, who is Jewish and has a great knowledge of intersectionality and CRT because he was, of course, a legal... he did legal studies at university. I think he's trained as a lawyer, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes. And he learned all about critical race theory there, so he has a good understanding of it. So he's got here, white people control societal institutions in order to forward the aspirations of white people. That's intersectionality. Anti-Semitism. Jews control the institutions in order to forward the aspiration of Jews. Intersectionality. Oh yeah, and Jews are white people. Pretty succinct and clear way of showing how one is very easy to slip into the other there.
Well, it's the exact same logic.
It is
word for word the exact same logic. It's just that the white man is now the enemy instead of the Jew.
I mean, this is literally why James Lindsay could take sections of Mein Kampf and just put it intersectional language.
White men control all the media? White men control all the institutions?
Oh my God.
It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just repackaged.
And he also appeared on Fox News to talk about this. So I think he sums it up pretty well in here if you want to play the clip, John.
What was going on there, Ben?
Okay, so to understand what Whoopi Goldberg is doing, you have to understand the basic left-wing intersectional theory of life is that all of society is structures of power, that there are victimized groups and there are victimizing groups. And the problem is that in American society, in the West more generally, Jews are disproportionately successful. According to the left, disproportionately successful groups are beneficiaries of the white supremacist system and are, in fact, either white or white adjacent. So Whoopi Goldberg actually said that during the Holocaust, it was two groups of white people who were fighting each other, meaning the Nazis and the Jews, which is an insane, insane contention. But that, again, ties into this idea that Jews are white people, and therefore, Jews aren't really the victims of the Holocaust. It's really all of humanity that was the victim of the Holocaust. Jews are just white people in general. And this is why you see from the left, when it comes to anti-Semitism, they are utterly unwilling on any level to condemn anti-Semitism unless it's an actual white supremacist who's doing it. If it's Black Hebrew Israelites who are attempting to murder Jews in New Jersey, or if it's Jews in Williamsburg who are being beaten up by Black guys on the streets of New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
or if it is the latest anti-Semitic attack in Texas, which was performed by a radical Muslim, all of that disappears from the news immediately. It is not a major anti-Semitic problem. It's only anti-Semitism if they can categorize it as a white-on-white attack, essentially. There's a deeper philosophy here, which is why Whoopi Goldberg was doing that. It's not just that she's stupid, although she is unbelievably stupid. This is not just insidious. It's not just insipid. It's insidious. I mean, it's insane on every level, obviously, historically speaking. Hitler thought of Jews as a race. He made this obvious. He made this clear. The Nuremberg Laws are based on the idea that Jews are a race. But none of that matters to Whoopi Goldberg. This ties into a broader, ugly theory.
Ben, my producers have made some phone calls, and we've booked you on The View tomorrow.
Pretty succinctly,
so pack your bag.
Pretty succinctly summed up. I'd say you put it all out there. So there's not really much else to say on the subject matter other than...
Well, Ben raises an interesting point, though, which is that...
Oh, yeah.
He's obviously putting out that you can see this with like Asian groups being described as white because they're white adjacent.
Oh, the guy who shot up the Asian, what was it, salon, who was seemed to be of Middle Eastern descent, but everyone was saying, well, he's politically white.
Or you could take the example of the Asians being discriminated against at universities because they're basically part of the white group.
In Harvard.
If I recall correctly, I remember Hitler talking about like the British and whatnot as and the Americans essentially as being like Jewish controlled or essentially Jewish adjacent as well. So, I mean, I can see the comparisons he's making there.
Yeah.
I do wonder, what did Spielman have to say about all this? The mouse writer.
I think he was just confused as to why the schools took took all of the stuff off of it, took it out of the curriculum. I don't think he's commented on all of this stuff since then.
Well, if anyone has Spielman Mama, they could ask him, I guess. But...
Yeah. But yeah, so that's about that. Just to sum up, don't listen to actors or anyone from Hollywood on anything important. They don't have the knowledge to back up their claims, nor do they have the wisdom to convey them effectively.
Do you remember Ricky Gervais's point on them at the Golden Globes?
What, that they were all mates with Jet Epstein?
That too, but also, most of you have spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. You don't know anything.
Yep.
Totally true. Let's continue though. So let's go to the Taliban. It's got a nice ending, kind of, so...
Fingers crossed.
Anyway, so... Leftists have decided to try and make the Taliban look good. The specific leftist in this case is the New Zealand government, and of course Jacinda Ardern and the Labour Party there. This is a story that I read, and I can't get my head around how this became reality. So let's start off. So this is the news a little while back, in which you can see here, The Guardian reporting, New Zealand closes borders to arrivals over unprecedented Omicron risk. And they said in here that New Zealand has temporarily cut off the only pathway home for overseas citizens and visa holders, citing the risk of the Omicron variant. Officials announced this Tuesday evening that new spaces in the country's Managed Isolation and Quarantine System, MIQ, would not be released. So they've artificially limited, or they did artificially limit, the number of people who can return home, citizens, because you have to be spending 10 days in this quarantine system. And then they just said no more. Just no more, because Omicron, very scary.
You don't do that with your own citizens, New Zealand.
And if we go to the next series of links, because let's just make the case, and as you can see here, vaccination status is extremely high in New Zealand. What is that, 82% there? If we continue, we go to the next one, we've got the cases. Ooh, very high because Omicron, ooh, scary cases.
Ooh, but what are the deaths?
Let's go to the deaths. Let's have a look at the deaths.
Oh.
Damn. Yeah. It's fluctuating between 0 and 1 for people who are listening. Not very scary.
New Zealand is literally the country that shut down an entire section of the whole island just because of one COVID case last year.
Well, I think they had a case in the Northern Island, so they shut down the Southern Island as well.
Great. This is excellent idea.
Perfect. Right. And if we continue, this is the main story. So let's go to the BBC article, please. New Zealand to allow in pregnant reporter who sought Taliban help. This is incredible. A pregnant New Zealand journalist who said she had turned to the Taliban for help after being unable to return home has been granted re-entry after an outcry. In her column for the New Zealand Herald, Miss Bellis said that the government had last week rejected her application to return home to give birth. She's pregnant. She's a reporter. She's like, I'd like to come back to New Zealand to give birth, please. And the New Zealand government said no.
They're just like, you're in the Middle East, find a barn or something.
Good luck. Currently, Wellington allows citizens and permanent residents to enter, but only if they spend 10 days in the isolating hotels that I mentioned previously. As there is high demand for such facilities and a limited number of spots, an artificially limited number of spots, because remember they don't have to do this, many New Zealanders wishing to return have effectively been shut out of their own country for about 2 years now. No ability to get back. She compared that experience she had to the way she was treated by the Taliban, whom she had contacted to ask if she would be welcome in Afghanistan as an unmarried pregnant woman. When she spoke to senior Taliban officials, Miss Bellis was in Belgium with her partner, a Belgian photojournalist. However, the time on her visa was running out and she was not a resident there. So she's in Belgium with her boyfriend, non-husband, and she's got pregnant. And she's like, can I go back to New Zealand? The New Zealand government says, bugger off, even though my visa's running out. Got nowhere to go. So she calls up the Taliban and like,
hello, mate.
Can I come? And the Taliban were very, very, well, accepting.
Oh, the Taliban were like, oh, we're bad, but come on, we're not New Zealand.
They did what to you? I can't believe the New Zealand government would do that. We're not like them.
Respect women.
Says the Taliban. Afghanistan was the only place she and her partner still had visas for, as they had been in Afghanistan last year covering the withdrawal of US troops. Mm. The retreat, frankly. Quote, you can come and you won't have a problem. Just tell people you're married, and if it escalates, call us. Miss Bellis quoted the unnamed officials from the Taliban as saying to her in response to her request.
So they were even giving her tips.
Yeah, they were like, just tell everyone you're married. We won't care. We're just the Taliban. We don't care about Islamic law. Bye. Quote, when the Taliban offers you a pregnant woman, an unmarried pregnant woman, safe haven, you know your situation is messed up, she wrote. I mean, can we just stop for a minute and reflect on how much of a messed up situation that is? She gets pregnant. She's out doing her job. She's doing a job that she cannot do at home. She has to be in Afghanistan to do this. And the government have the means to take her back. They could quarantine her. They could buy up some more hotel rooms. I don't know what's stopping them if they're so insistent on that. Or they could just
say they have a duty to do so.
Or they could just let her go back to her house and self-isolate there. No. The scary Omicron variant, they swear, even though they have the data and it's not. You can't come home. I know you're a citizen, but you cannot return.
This is when it sort of goes over to being just evil.
Openly evil.
Absolutely.
They have the data, they know it's not a risk, and yet the New Zealand government, the leftists here, will do as they please. Let's continue. After Miss Bell's letter was published, there were calls for New Zealand authorities to adjust the emergency quarantine allocation criteria to specifically cater for pregnant women. Authorities defended the policy on Monday, saying the system had, quote, served New Zealand exponentially well, saved lives and hospital admissions, and kept our health system from being swamped. No, it hasn't. I mean, the fact that you're isolated from the rest of the world is what's done that. It isn't hard. I know people like amazingly give New Zealand credit, and at the early stages they were giving Jacinda Ardern this credit. Oh, how wonderful you have done to be zero COVID.
And it went all to her upper mouth.
It's like, dude, you're in the middle of nowhere. You're a couple of islands surrounded by ocean. I'm sure this is very hard to check for COVID coming in and out. Absolutely impossible task. No one could have achieved it. And they say in here, the government has also said Miss Bellis had been advised to apply for a visa again under a separate emergency category. So their initial response was, I'm very sorry about that. I know you're in Afghanistan and pregnant. Too bad. Fill in another form and we'll swear we'll accept it. Sure.
It's the fact that it took this for them to go, should we let the pregnant women back in?
I don't know. It's unclear if that took place, the BBC write, or if she had now been granted entry under her original application. Quote, there is a place in managed isolation and quarantine for Miss Bellis, and I urge her to take it up. Deputy Prime Minister Grant Robertson told reporters at a daily COVID briefing. It had to go all the way up to the Deputy Prime Minister for her to even get a place.
Who I hope went, yes, obviously bring her in.
Yeah. He denied that the action had come as a result of the attention to her case, saying staff dealt daily with emergency applications. Right. If it wasn't the attention to the case that made you do this, why did we have to get the Deputy Prime Minister to make a statement? Why was it not enough some civil servant, someone in the process to have done that? Obviously, it's because of the attention of the case. Just open lie. Open lie. Why only after the article did you suddenly decide that she needs to come? And we can have this story and put it right next to the leftist government in New Zealand's response to refugees from Afghanistan.
Were they more than happy?
More than happy to make room.
Oh, come in, we've got plenty of space.
Here's a story. Former Afghan vice president given safe haven in New Zealand. A former vice president of Afghanistan and 13 family members have arrived in New Zealand after the government granted them resettlement. This in January as well.
Ah, but your own pregnant citizens, no.
Not so much. They can get stuffed. In fact, they can go back to Afghanistan
and
stay there. They'll be just as safe.
This guy says there's some nice people he can put you in touch with.
Yeah, and there are only certain Afghans, of course, as you can see the fact that he's a former prime minister, therefore he gets this privileged position as well. And if we go to the next link, you can, of course, see a bunch of other people on the list who apparently had worked with the New Zealand forces in Afghanistan, not getting in because, well, we don't have the room. We've got to quarantine these hotels and all that. Interesting. So again, we have another situation in which you have to be incredibly privileged to get anywhere within this situation. If you're not privileged, go to hell. That's right, I'm a leftist.
I care.
I stand for workers' rights. I stand for the underprivileged, which is why I only privilege the privileged.
We are the side of empathy.
Yeah, and if we go to the next link, we can see that Charlotte Bellis seems to have a Twitter and she updates posts there. So next link, please. Then we can see the fact that she also wrote in here that, well, did she get in because she's a pregnant woman? No. The approval was not granted on the basis of medical needs, but on the risk factor, out of location. So if she'd stayed in Belgium, they would have gone...
Are you sure it wasn't risk factor to New Zealand's PR?
Yeah.
There it is.
That's probably what it is. But the fact that, yeah, you're in Afghanistan, so we'll accept you. So they still don't accept that if you're pregnant, you have any right to come back to New Zealand.
No, you're screwed.
You can go to hell. That's the position of the New Zealand government. Fantastic. And if we go to the next one, there are, of course, government also trying to make her look bad. So this is some minister who decided to issue a statement saying things that, well, she hadn't allowed them to leak. So in here, they say the government then decided to make her look bad, saying, included when a minister believed she had arrived in Afghanistan, that information, and that she had been offered consular assistance. And Bellis said she never gave consent for this information to be shared, and also that it's untrue anyway. So she didn't know how to talk to the consular because it's Taliban-controlled Afghanistan. Never mind actually talking to them.
Yes, hello, I'm just a journalist. Can you talk to me, please?
Yeah.
That's not going to go well.
Apparently it's just bollocks. So the ministers for the government went out and tried to shame her and make it seem like, oh, well, she's just not taking the assistance we're offering, even though she says, I haven't got any. But I don't have to talk to your consulate. I'm in Afghanistan, mate. what do you want? And we continue, because of course it's not just her. If we go to the next link, we can see lobbying groups trying to lobby for the baby bridge initiative, which is to bring pregnant women back to New Zealand so then they can give birth there. I mean, you think the most basic fundamental rights as a citizen would be to come back to your country? Apparently not.
Too good for you. That sounds like entitled talk there.
Yeah, I just look at this situation for a minute. Of course the Taliban are exploiting it for PR, but there's a reason they can do that. And the reason is because of the New Zealand government and the leftists who run it. It's their decision. They're the ones making the Taliban look good, not anyone else. And also the fact that the amount of privilege you do have to get. I mean, the criticism of her that she is only able to get back in because of her journalistic privilege, that she can write an article and get the Deputy Prime Minister to say something. Sure. Sure. Also, the Vice President of Afghanistan getting his place with his 13 family members. This is the society they've built. I mean, you have built a society that is only for the privileged, not for the many. As Corbyn would say. That's real leftism. Fantastic. And I thought we'd end with some leftism by just going through some brain-dead leftist takes on this whole situation, because, man, they are amazing. Let's go to the next one. So this is some of the highest things I just found on Twitter.com, because it's a leftist hive. You see this person here saying, the journo Charlotte Bellis hasn't lived in New Zealand for 7 years and doesn't work for a New Zealand company. She thinks being pregnant is a medical condition and fulfills the criteria for an emergency spot. Once again, white bourgeois privilege is trumpeted in the New Zealand press. I mean, number one, being pregnant isn't a medical condition. Okay.
Yep.
Try and argue that one with anyone. But also, white bourgeois privilege.
I'm sure they're probably keeping any Maoris out as well who may have left the country and want to come back.
Yeah, I don't think it's based on race.
Yeah, but no.
If he wants to argue that she's a journo who's white and therefore bourgeois and then has privilege, yes, dum-dum.
Well,
okay, we'll accept that as true, Mr. Leftist.
This person has labelled themselves on Twitter Pinot Gris demon socialist.
Mm.
Yes, I would say you are living up to the demonic aspect of your title, you absolute moron.
So think about this for a minute, Mr. Socialist. We put a socialist government in charge, and what did they do? Oh, they only allowed privileged people back into the country and closed the borders.
Could have seen that one coming.
Hmm. It's almost like there is some problems there with privilege. No, okay, yeah, that's leftist, can't criticise them. So let's move on. So I just, the fact that it's like the Afghan bourgeoisie also get in with his 13 kids, but just what about the non-bourgeoisie for a minute? I mean, no, they don't get in. That's the point. That is, yeah, it's a socialist criticism of your socialist government as well. It's also just the moral one. Then we also just have Jacinda Ardern herself, and I thought I'd mention this because it's an amazing piece of footage and it exposes, well, the way these people think. So this is her being asked about the fact that she's made two classes of people, the vaccinated and unvaccinated. And as you can see her saying there, that is what
she's
we've done.
More than happy. Big, big grin on her face, just saying, yep, that's absolutely what I am doing. Almost like it's part of the plan.
Mm. Direct quote from her, that is what it is. As in, yes, that is exactly what we're doing. We're mating two classes of people.
And I couldn't be happier.
And oppressing one of them. That's class struggle, comrade, right there. Dividing people into classes and then oppressing one of them.
You
except
know,
that is exactly what socialists do.
I've got a great name for the unvaccinated, the Kulaks.
Mm. Why not? I'm sure it'll stick. Perhaps refuse Nick instead. And then we thought we'd go with one more example, so let's end off with the last one here. So this is someone being saying that Charlotte clearly believes there should be no quarantine and that New Zealand should be living with COVID. I mean, this is based off the evidence. She's a big fan of Dan Wootten and clearly dislikes the PM. Because she's crap. She has deliberately politicised her situation despite the quarantining and New Zealand High Commission trying to help her, except apparently that is also bollocks. And if you click on the second link here, this is what they're referencing, because the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, decided to say that I have to take sacrifices too in all this that I'm putting upon you. She has cancelled her wedding. She's just like you or me. She's had to cancel her wedding because of her own policies. Hey, this isn't a sacrifice. This is like you shot yourself in the head, mate. I don't know what to say.
You could have just not put the policies in the first place.
Yeah, and as you can see, this person responding there being like, oh, such is life. Well, no, it's a decision that she made, even though 90% of the people are vaccinated, and Omicron clearly is not killing people. Doesn't care. It's just open corruption. But it's a fantastic story to demonstrate how evil these people are, I think.
Yeah, no, I think there's no way of hiding it at this point. Sorry, you're a pregnant citizen of our country. No, you can keep out.
The Taliban will
much.
Take care of you better than we can.
Yeah, and they did. They did.
Actually did.
Back in September when this happened, did you expect to be hearing stories of only a few months later about the Taliban seemingly taking in poor New Zealand refugees?
Mm. So whilst the New Zealanders have to suffer taking in hordes of refugees, which may or may not have a right to be there, the Taliban are taking New Zealand refugees.
New Zealand sending
Jacinda
them right
Ardern.
Back over.
Yeah, that's the situation. I said it was a terrible story.
I mean, if you're talking about leftism, it's an equitable exchange. There you go.
Is.
Finally, equity in action.
Yeah, let's go to the video comments. So it's some guy getting a tattoo.
Token Manx man.
There's no audio apparently.
Okay, he's just getting a tattoo.
All right, cool, I guess.
Yep.
What is that?
If there was audio on this, we're sorry, it's just not playing. It looks like some kind of tribal runic stuff.
All right.
It's really cool.
I have no idea what any of those are, so they're okay. Let's go to the next one.
It looks really great.
Never allow yourself to be lectured on morale by pedophiles and corrupt policemen.
Yeah, don't take advice from Hollywood. I agree.
I endorse that message. Don't know what else to say. So let's go to the next one.
You gotta love environmentalism. This is yogurt in a plastic cup with a plastic lid. It used to have a pretty decent plastic spoon. Now we have a shite wooden spoon wrapped in plastic. We are saving the planet, guys. Good job. Pat yourself on the shoulder.
Yeah. It is just ridiculous how much focus there is on like consumer plastic. I know that everyone saw the documentary that I think the BBC put out, which is like Islands of Plastic and all that. It's like, yeah, but this really isn't just people using their bits of spoon or whatever. There's a whole lot more going on here.
We've all pointed out the masks, the fact that the people who are wearing masks are probably more likely to be environmentalists. Now that they're not mandated to be worn, so you can kind of, it is kind of unfortunate that it's kind of a signifier of which side of the aisle you're more likely to be on.
I mean, I don't know how much the mask did, because they're not plastic, but like the gloves I've seen about a lot.
Gloves and stuff. But yeah, the environmentalists don't seem to care at all what the PPE has done in terms of like litter and waste and pollution.
Sure, but it's just this autistic obsession of just like, the day-to-day things will make a huge difference. Like plastic straws, I'm saying. Come on, we are not going to save the planet by banning plastic straws. It's the least of our problems in this regard. Mm. Let's go to the next one.
We had a local freedom convoy. My dad participated.
All right, and there's Dad. He's taking part in the local convoy in solidarity with the guys in Ottawa.
Justin Trudeau quaking in fear.
Yeah. I'm wondering, because I'm sure there's sound limits on how loud you can have your honker, but considering law and order seems to be breaking down around those circles, just upgrade your system. Surely there's a way to do that. Make the honks even louder.
Attach loudspeakers to every part of your truck. Just a few suggestions we're throwing out there, you know?
Just get some speakers, plug in your phone and make honk noises on your phone. I don't know.
Yeah.
Make it as loud as possible. I love the honks. Let's get the next one.
Hello, loud seaters. Well, Friday's Zoom call was a roller coaster. I managed to log on. I didn't have a chance to ask a question, but the first question I heard was about Battletech. Listen closely, and you can hear it.
Okay.
Callum, start painting.
No.
That was very subtle for a moment, and then it wasn't.
I want to save money, so I don't want to buy that stuff. Although I have been watching a lot of Pancreas No Work, and he mentions in the alternatives to Games Workshop, Battletech is a big one, especially if you want to play Titans.
The most I've heard of Battletech is Razorfist talking about them and using them to dunk on Games Workshop.
Yeah.
So.
Although I have also, for people who still want to buy stuff, the other day, because I also watched, he mentioned the fact about buying stuff on eBay, and I never thought about it, and then I looked it up, and holy crud, you can get stuff for cheap on eBay.
Oh yeah, you can get great deals on eBay.
Like, I saw there was a Dreadnought, fully painted, so I don't even have to do anything, because I'm, again, there's another reason for me not to paint, because I'm crap at it. And it was £1.
Nice.
We could buy a Dreadnought for £1.
Was that buy it now, or bids?
I think it might have been bids, but it was just like, there's only 4 days, how high is that going to go?
Well, I've spent some time on eBay, and the bids can sort of bid it up very quickly, especially when it gets to that last half hour, you find
he's not the only dude selling a Dreadnought, so you could just go and move on. I mean, I found a whole Tyranid army on Pier, like a full Tyranid army for £100.
Oh, nice. Well, I've been using eBay recently to sell stuff, and the stuff that I've been selling at a massive discount from what I originally bought it on, just because it's like, most people selling on eBay is, I'm selling my comic book collection because it just takes up too much space. It's like, well, I just want rid of it. So this comic that should be worth like £200 to a collector, I'll just sell it for 20 quid. There you go.
Why?
Because I just want to get rid of it.
Don't you like money, though?
Well, I've made plenty of money off it already. Trust me, I've got enough comic books that it's fine. But no, it's just...
At least put it for 100.
No, because then it'll go for ages. I don't plan on living where I'm living right now for that much longer.
Okay.
So it's like, I don't want it to still be just hanging around, so it'll just be a pain in my ass to move later.
Already? Fair enough.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Let's go to the next one.
So just a few quick points. Since language is important, I feel like people on the right should stop referring to them as TERFs and start referring to them as women's rights activists. I think as far as the narrative goes, that'll be important in the long run. And since words' definitions can be apparently changed however you want, I think right-wing people should refer to an anti-racist as someone who wants a colorblind society, and a racist is somebody who wants a race-conscious society. Saying that you're anti-racist because you want a colorblind society is far more appealing to the average normie.
Maybe. On the second point, I'm not so sold. I have seen the TERFs openly refer to themselves as women's rights activists routinely now, especially Posey Parker.
It is a more accurate term, because everything that I've seen from people who are classified as TERFs, generally speaking, they're all like, well, I don't want to kill trans people. Most of them are actually very supportive, because in a sense they see sort of a common ground between women's struggles and the struggles of these new oppressed peoples. They just don't want the biological terms changing, and they don't want who they see as biological men in women's spaces.
I mean, the reason we haven't done this in the past is presumably because both of these groups came from the women's rights movement.
Yes.
And then there are one section that's saying, you know, trans women are women, and one that's saying women are women. And, well, they now have diverged enough. I think you might be right. It might be time to move towards trans activists and women's rights activists, and that be an easier way of defining the divide.
I suppose TERF just has a bit of an impact to it.
Yeah.
That is probably optically...
I've had this debate with Carl as well, which is that I think the TERFs will win. They because you always get this stuff, right? So like the new atheism movement had a split between like the SJWs and the SJW types essentially took over that. I think the TERFs will win the women's rights movement back as their own, and the trans rights will have to be a different group. They're the ones who are going to get outed.
Yeah, I see that. There's too much pressure against the trans groups, even from within the sort of paradigm that they've been trying to couch themselves in, you know, when you get stuff like the LGB Alliance going against them as well. And plus, it's just the fact that everybody else has a position that lines up with reality, whereas they're trying to bend reality to their whims.
So, sometimes that's important.
Yeah. So sometimes being empirically correct helps.
Mm. Let's go to the next one.
Love you, man. I'm your biggest fan. The last thing I ever wanted. If you hit me, I'm in the hospital, right? Chances are.
Americans are so forthright in using force for defense, whereas often the British have a more subtle approach. In 1969, the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band toured America and were pulled over by the police. Vivian Stanshall was typically British.
You know, said, you got any guns? You got any knives? I said, well, heavens, good, no, why? You know. And then he said, well, what do you use for self-protection? And at this moment, Viv snaps and says, good manners.
That's so true, though. Mm-hmm. There was a guy who was helping out stewarding when we did the Southwest tour, and I believe, if I'm getting this correct, mate, he was an army medic, and he was telling us a lot about the different angles American and British, what would you call it, bodyguards take, that sort of industry, where it's private military stuff as well, right? And the American approach is that if we're taking out a convoy into Iraq, we'll throw Humvees everywhere, machine guns, huge rocket launchers, you know, whatever else to make everyone go, ooh, big scary, don't attack them.
Yeah.
And the British approach will be, okay, we'll put the high-value target in a really crappy car and black him up.
I guess one's more effective than the other in that case.
Yeah, because then the opposite thinking is, of course, that, well, okay, that's just some local. Who cares? Let's try and look for where the British are, and then you've missed it.
I mean, Miles managed to get through most of Afghanistan with just sort of, like, just keeping to himself, didn't he?
Yeah, didn't even have the black up.
Yeah. Although I'm sure he was tempted.
Yeah, he did wear a hijab at one point, I believe. I think he also put on a burqa at one point to try and blend in. But that's the difference.
There's definitely virtues to maintaining a low profile.
Yeah, so the good manners response is totally true. It still seems as well within the army. Let's go to the next one.
Hey guys, cracked me up yesterday. I show you a destroyed ceiling that requires repainting, and you guys are commenting on my kids' food trays. But, you know, good question, Callum. Spoken like a guy who doesn't have kids. Understandable. Hey, listen. Everything you serve with a kid has to be indestructible. This is, and I don't want my kids eating hot food off plastic because I don't want stuff, chemicals from the plastic leaching in. So these work great.
I was about to say, like my mom used to be a childminder, so you could feed kids with plates, and they were plastic. I've never heard of the hot food interacting with the plastic, because I mean the main reason you use plastic is because it's unreactive. But you know, tell me if I'm wrong, I guess. Yeah. Other than that, I mean, that's why I was confused, because again, every other kid in this country I've ever seen has been fed with a plastic plate or a paper plate, not a prison plate, which is what that looks like to me. It's not just me, right? It does look like something you get in a prison.
Maybe. I've not spent as much time in prisons as you, so I don't have much reference.
Whenever I watch American prison movies, it's always like that. The guy gets gruel.
Yeah, I suppose so. I hope he's not serving his kids gruel in those things. Are you punishing your children?
And they put up a fight, and he's just like, that's prison rules. I don't know. Let's go to the next one.
So, Alex, I believe you wanted to have book reviews. Well, I have a certain bias in certain topics that I like, so... Martial art books. This book, I honestly would recommend if you want to get some kind of trivia knowledge on boxing. It goes back to the very creation of boxing, to the rebirth of boxing in modern times, not just ancient Greece, to even going into detail of every single boxer who pretty much has ever been in the sport prior to this book being written, and also goes over the differences of boxing in the UK to America, because racial tensions and racial history differences.
Sounds interesting.
So I'm just hearing Discord messages throughout that. Jesus Christ.
He's a popular guy.
Yeah, but on boxing, I have no opinion, sorry.
That sounds pretty interesting.
It's not for me, but go to the next one.
Is breached. It would take a number beyond reckoning, thousands, to storm the keep.
Tens of thousands.
But my lord, there is no such force.
I knew where this was going.
I mean, great.
Nice.
I do oppose the idea that these guys are the orcs in the story and Saruman and whatnot. Feel like Trudeau and his big tower is definitely Saruman, but anyway.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next one.
I would argue life is good when it replicates itself. However, since this is a fallen world, the opposite is true. Each of us are shaped by our environment, community, and customs. Unchecked, our good wanes and waxes. While conservatives can assess an individual's current development, the leftist ignores everything in favor of ideology.
Sure, I mean,
okay,
that is a consistent problem we have with leftists, is their obsession with ideology.
I'd say it can cut both ways, yeah. But it's much more likely on the leftist side, as far as I've seen.
Pure ideology, as Zizek would say, of course. Love that guy. Such a meme. Let's get the next one.
What I'd like to know is, does Justin Trudeau think that he's running away from a lynch mob? Because if he does, I think that says a lot more about him than about the people at the Freedom protest. Actually, now he's saying that he has COVID, and that's why he's disappeared, but nobody believes that. Just like nobody believes that there's actually Nazis in Ottawa. We know that the upside-down Canadian flag at the Terry Fox Memorial is fake. We know that the Nazi flag is fake. What's real is the voices of the children supporting the truckers.
Yeah, I didn't even want to give it credence, because it's so obviously bollocks.
Yeah, right? I see those things as just psyops at this point.
Yeah, it's just silly. But the other point you made there, which is about him having COVID. I have COVID, quick, let's do a press conference in which I endorse BLM and call the truckers bad.
Where I look perfectly fine.
Yeah. Sabal.
Yeah.
It's obviously
that's
fake.
A good point. You know, the circumstances had made me completely forget that he supposedly had COVID, because in every other way that he's behaving, other than just hiding away at home, he's not acting like it.
No.
And he didn't look it.
It's just so unbelievable that it didn't even cross my mind or your mind whilst doing the segment again.
Yeah, we were just sort of like, well, this is a, well, not. I suppose he's healthy, relatively young. This is just a normal person.
Yeah, just obvious nonsense. Quite frankly, I just really hope he falls over this. I mean, it'd be great to have another Ben Ali moment where you just...
I mean, it is. Winters get cold in Canada. It's pretty slippy. He could fall.
Whatever he lives. No, we won't.
No, that's not Doc's trusted.
No, I just had the thought because I was wondering, like, where in the country has he fled to? Like, how did he get there? I wasn't thinking about that, but then I knew that conversation was going to go somewhere
else. I'm just hoping that a camera's on when he slips on some ice and takes a pratfall. Like Humza.
Well, Klaus Schwab has said you've served your purpose and trips him up.
Like... Well, they're standing at the edge of an abyss or something, and he's like, goodbye.
Justin, look out into the ice water.
No, have you watched Game of Thrones at some point, right?
I haven't watched too much of it, no.
Have you seen the, your sister, pushes out the moon door?
I was thinking more the Canadian protests from South Park, where they get Scott, put him on a... it's the Prime Minister. They put him on a little block of ice and then kick him out.
Oh, yeah.
You're not my buddy, guy. I'm not your guy, friend.
I'm not your friend, pal.
Yeah, buddy. Let's go to the next one.
Started working this weekend on a new camera system for my giant robot because my recording equipment doesn't like below 0 Fahrenheit temperatures. So, you know, I'm working inside. And really, it's just a couple reverse camera kits for a car and a few screens to go with them. Really, the core of my design philosophy is this. It is not so important what everybody says something is, as opposed to what it actually does. A variation of actions speak louder than words, I guess.
Okay.
Nice.
It's also kind of orc again. It's like, what's you do? Always fancy talk. Show me. It's just awesome. Let's go to the next one.
Here in the wastelands of southern New Jersey, with a foot of snow, what do we do for dinner? Do we grill? Chad, yes, we grill. Chad, yes.
Oh.
I could do with a steak.
I could do with a dog. Joan's so cute. I don't know. I don't know what it is about. It's just so adorable.
Just a cute, fluffy dog, man.
But also stories from the pines there, coming a bit IRL, going out and finding them. So look forward to that. Let's go to the next one.
Hey, I probably didn't make the point as well as I wanted to. Basically, what I was trying to say is when you can go and read the Bible, read the Gospels, make your own decision about Christ's philosophies, and you can decide whether or not you think he's Son of God or not, that's not magic. That's just simply religion. Here's an example of a magic spell. The graphite is not on the roof.
I'm sorry, I was reading him saying that it's too complicated to really make in 30 seconds. I can sort of see what you're saying. That if something is fake and not reality, therefore we can make it reality and that is magic, in the sense of there is no graphite on the roof. And we all agree on this thing that's obviously not true, but we've made it true by us all agreeing it. So I kind of get that. But we were sort of talking about more abstract things, of course, like property rights or whatever. Mm. That these things can be made unreal, but they can also be made real by enough of us agreeing. And that extended to other things. But he's going to go back to annoying me now. So
I'm looking forward to that.
To be honest, I'd rather talk about magic. But okay. CSCooper.com.au. Let's go to the next one.
Wow. I may want to force people to carry papers in public and coerce them into medical procedures without their informed consent, but at least I'm not a fascist.
What's that, loser? I don't know.
Those sound like policies a fascist would support. But I understand. Like SARS-CoV-2, there are many variants of authoritarian mental disorders.
I'm going to get a honking noise app on my phone.
Anytime someone says something you disagree with, honk.
Well, no, just when someone starts saying something nonsensical about COVID anymore, because I'm sick of just talking about it in general. Vaccine's the way out of this.
We were saying earlier, it's weird to look at places like Canada because we've suddenly just got rid of the restrictions and we're like, well, life can go on. If people want to wander about with face masks on, I suppose that's their decision. So it feels weird.
It's not the restrictions, though. You notice how we're not being bombarded every day by propaganda telling us that if we all just get the vaccine now, this could all be over. They're threatening us with restrictions. They could put out propaganda now saying, oh, by the way, we need to get the third booster or we're going to have to put those restrictions back.
maybe it's not as prevalent now, right now, but back in the end of December, I was wandering about up north in Manchester and Liverpool and places. They literally had people being walking propaganda billboards with backpacks that had big screens that said, get boosted now. Yeah. And Manchester, everywhere you go in Manchester, there's the big billboards that and screens in the middle of the street that just say, get boosted now. So there is still that level of it is still being shoved in my face.
At a local level, I probably should say central government, because the ultimate decisions in the UK, the way it works is, of course, the Prime Minister and then his ministers are the ones who have all the power as written. And therefore, well, that narrative, that level of propaganda has been removed from the table.
Maybe my problem was going into deep Labour cities like Liverpool and Manchester in the first place.
That is also a mistake many make.
Yeah. So- I'm glad to be out. I made it.
I want the honking app. Let's go to the next one.
You know, I know I've been talking about the mythical Hotel Rwanda as a solution for processing our migrants, but I was watching a video last night, and I think I've got just the spot. I mean, think about it. It's perfect.
I actually haven't got around to watching that episode yet.
Neither have I.
Shud. Sorry, I was really hoping you could explain to me.
I've missed quite a few of Dank's more recent videos because I've just been busy, so...
But yeah, I don't know what's going on with the Hotel Rwanda solution as well, because the Danish government seemed to have signed it. Sophie mentioned that their Home Secretary or whatever has been kicked out, so God knows what's happening there. But we did pass the bill. Like, it is law that we can do that whenever we want in the UK. Just call up a third country and be like, oi, you want some money and some migrants?
Yeah, but... whether our government's got the balls to actually go ahead with it.
Yeah. I mean, you don't even have to pick Rwanda. I mean, we could pick someone else. There's nothing stopping us.
Hey, France, guess what?
I did mention it's a bit cruel, but one of the crown dependencies would be perfect for this, like St. Helena. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you just look on Google Maps, there is plenty of land to build some camps, which you just process them. Just build a new road that goes directly to the harbour as well, and you're done. You know, or the airport or whatever. And they don't even have to interact with the locals at all, so it's no scourge on them.
Yeah, sorted. Yeah.
Or also could just give them some money for having to suffer it. Well, let's get the next one.
You know, there's an Oasis song called Listen Up. I mean, Noel Gallagher gets made fun of for his lyrics, but the verse for Listen Up, or the first verse for Listen Up, absolutely prophetic. Take me up to the top of the world, I want to see my crime. Day by day, there's a man in a suit who's going to make you pay for the thoughts that you think and the words they won't let you say. And I hear Thomas likes Oasis. What's your favourite Oasis song, Thomas?
Well, as someone who has been mistaken for Thomas a number of times on the podcast, I spoke to him about this earlier. I think it's Around the World or All Around the World. So there's your answer for that one.
I was half expecting him to end that with Also French is Gay again, but never mind, because it would rhyme. Let's go to the next one.
So have you guys seen the All Creatures Great and Small series based on the James Herriot books? It's really great. Depicts the English countryside in a nice way, I think. And it's, I think there's some daddy selections in there also. And also, I'm finally back on the rig. Haven't been here since October, so great times. More work, and it's everything is starting to look really good. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Oh, so are you a chef on a rig then, instead of on a ship?
It looks so.
Because I remember him being on a ship and him, you know, having the debate with TF Allspark. But I always wanted to know what it's like to live on a rig, because to be honest, it doesn't really look that bad.
I was thinking as long as the internet was good. Yeah, it seems like kind of a weirdly well, obviously you've got to work and everything, but you can kind of just get away from it all.
Away from society and all the nonsense.
Yeah, all the BS that's happening.
It's that just... Norwegian countryside there. Yeah. An oil rig.
just like you just put your mind to the work, and there's only the one thing you really need to focus on, and everything else you can just sort of like put your mind to whatever you want, rather than having to focus on all the nonsense that's going on.
I mean, it certainly looks good when you're young. I think when you've got a family and kids, you'd rather at home, but it doesn't look too bad. Anyway. So things to mention. So on Honka Country, Alpha of the Betas, within a one-minute clip, Justin Trudeau calls tens of thousands of Canadian truckers who peacefully assembled to protest his proto-fascist regime. Nazis, racists, desecrators, thieves, haters, vandals, science deniers, abusers, and intimidators. Additionally, Trudeau's government announced plans for interprovincial vaccine mandates, a move so blatantly illegal, it is clearly announced to incite violent responses. Truckers aren't taking the bait. Yeah. It's really pathetic, his response to it. And I you just have to give hats off to the truckers. The worst they've got on them is there was some homeless shelter that ended up giving food out to truckers because they asked for it.
Right. Yeah. And we got a few photos of some suspicious flags that were told to go away immediately.
I mean, that's an incredibly well-managed movement, or incredibly well-behaving movement, I should say, in response.
They've not burnt any businesses down.
No, didn't kill any David Dorns. Didn't have to do that. No? Mm. So it's almost like you don't have to. Just start burning the place down and murdering innocent people.
Yeah, you just need to make your voice heard.
Mm.
And honk.
And honk very loud. But let's move on, because I don't know how much we're doing for time. But let's go to the Whoopi Goldberg stuff.
Yeah, sure. So Chris Wolfe says, censoring books about the Holocaust is close to the sad end of a positive feedback loop of sheltered and terrified adult babies. Grow a spine and look at the horror, put it on the table and watch it. I understand what you're saying there, but I do see it kind of as the negative side effects of the push that was made in Virginia. As much as I really like what was done in Virginia and the fact that we were calling out people for pushing ideology and showing kids material that was really not appropriate for them, this seems to be the overcorrection which has come about as a result of it.
Is there actually any direct link between anti-critical race theory activists and that decision, though? Like, did the counselor say, I'm doing this because of critical race theorists or any of that?
No, but I can see how that sort of that might have influenced it, because one of the things that that people were annoyed about in Virginia was just the content of the books that they were reading, not necessarily just the subject as well. So there was one book about American slavery whose name completely eludes me right now, but it was taken off the curriculum for showing for discussing bestiality and other such sensitive topics. But with that, you can say maybe bestiality for kids is not necessarily the sort of subject matter you want them to see, whereas maybe, I think it was 8 swear words.
When did that come into slavery?
I don't know. Well, I think it might have been a fictional story, so they might have just written in some, you know how some people do, where they'll just write in, and by the way, the plantation owner also effed his pigs, or something like that, you know? I don't know. I'm not familiar with the work, but I can see how that sort
it's
of like
a Sheed retelling of slavery.
Yeah, maybe they were breaking them books. But I can see how that sort of reaction might have influenced this, even if it wasn't directly stated.
Okay, I'd like to see what the guy's thoughts were before saying it has anything to do with that, because I get your point that it's in the same area, but this sort of stories prop up all the time, all over the place.
That's true.
I think this is a bit inappropriate for kids. And I can see the argument of saying, well, I don't really want to tell the kiddos everything about the Holocaust because it is horrific. And that can be fair.
Perhaps I'm just seeing it from a perspective of when I was 12 years old, I was probably mature enough. But then again, there's kids all over the place that will develop at different rates. Like my dad was showing me Pulp Fiction at 12 years old and stuff like that, which was probably inappropriate, but was fine by me.
You ever seen The City of Life and Death?
No, I haven't.
I'll send you that. That's it's a movie about the Rape of Nanking.
Oh God, I bet that's dark.
The guys who made it do not pull any punches, and it's one of the few movies where I think I watched it when I was over 18 as well, and I watched it and went, oh crap, I really wish I hadn't watched that.
Yeah, I mean,
I wouldn't show that to kids, that's my point.
When I was 16, I watched, I was on a ferry from France to England that was going particularly slow, and they showed a film on it. That film was 12 Years a Slave. Really good film, very good film, but I would not want to watch it again because it was just horribly depressing and demoralizing.
I didn't find it, okay, maybe that's just because other movies are worse, but I didn't think it was bad.
Other films are worse, but still.
There's scenes where the Japanese are just butchering babies with bayonets. And
yeah, I've got, what's the name? Something Chang, her book, The Rape of Nanking, where it's describing the way they would throw babies into the air and just slice them in half for sport. It's very, very disturbing. Dark,
not child-friendly content, even though it happened.
Yeah, definitely not. Just one more quote from here. Baron von Warhawk, the Holocaust is about race. As a history teacher specializing in World War II, I almost had a stroke. And if the Holocaust isn't about race, how do you explain the term master race? Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. Do you want to go on to the Taliban ones?
Sure. So Edik Nicholson says, if pregnancy is not a medical condition, then abortions are not healthcare services. Checkmate by your own logic, leftists. Absolutely.
That's a good point.
Freewill 2112 says, the PM of New Zealand is just another callous member of the Davos cult.
I mean, they all are, aren't they?
I would love to see the breakdown. I don't know if anyone's done it. Where the hell has she got her money from? Because
that might be one for John to look into.
She's worth millions, and her salary is not millions.
She's probably got a vested interest in shares in the sugar cube industry.
Sugar cube, is that we're calling it now?
No, because she looks like a horse.
Oh, because she looks like a horse, right. I thought we'd come up with new code names for vaccines so we wouldn't get deleted.
Maybe we should call sugar them cube sugar industry. Cubes from now on.
I mean, the sugar cubes are used as placebos.
Have your sugar cube.
No, you know.
No, I know.
Baron von Warhawk says, honestly, if China were to invade New Zealand, would there be any change to its politics? Apparently not. And yeah, I mean, we really
welcome them with open arms.
That is a debate to be had. I mean, at what point is military action justified against New Zealand's government if they democratically decide to side with China? Because after the Five Eyes thing, and everyone kind of freaking out, especially in the mother country about that, and just being like, whoa. What the hell is happening? Yeah, something to think about. Lord Nerevar says, when the Taliban are more humane than you, it's maybe time for a boogaloo in Minecraft. That's a wonderful phrase.
Let's just end with this one as well from Base State saying, could you imagine marrying Jacinda? We did the poor guy a favour.
And on that note, it's time to end the show. So if you'd like more from us, of course, go over to loadseers.com, check out the free articles I mentioned, or if you want to subscribe and support us and keep the show running, please do subscribe and get access to the premium content and all the other stuff we obviously have. But otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.